This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. West Virginia's film office was dissolved by an act of the legislature in 2016, then revived in 2022. 2 years later, reporter Max Bruce says the industry is booming.
There's a lot of buzz and interest in it, especially because of how competitive the tax credits are, but also how versatile the state is.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. Electricity prices in West Virginia have increased faster than the rate of inflation. A recent report concluded that the state's heavy reliance on coal is the reason. Curtis Tate spoke with the report's author, Brendan Pierpont, director of electricity modeling for energy innovation policy and technology.
What's really behind the rising electricity prices in the state?
And when you look at West Virginia in particular, it stands out as a place where coal is, in spite of these economic forces, coal is remaining on the system, and regulators are actually doubling down on coal in a lot of ways. So even when utilities have conducted analyses that suggest that these coal plants should retire, regulators have pushed uneconomic plants to stay online, pushed the utilities to invest hundreds of millions of dollars in new investment in those plants, and requiring those coal plants to run even when there's cheaper power available on in the market.
Neighboring states and regions that are more dependent on natural gas have also seen an increase in electricity prices. Why is that?
Those states are certainly exposed to the same type of gas price volatility. The gas market is increasingly linked to global markets, and so wherever consumers are wherever there's a heavy reliance on gas, those prices tend to flow through to electricity customers. Though I do think you're right when you look at surrounding states. They have not experienced quite the same rate of increase in electricity prices compared to West Virginia. They have in general experienced some level of increase in electricity prices, but definitely not at the same level as West Virginia.
What have other states done to stop electricity prices from rising as fast?
When we look across states, some of the states that have managed to keep electricity prices from rising as quickly, some of the states that have the lower rates of rate increases and in rate growth are actually states that have deployed renewable energy at a higher rate than many others. And so you have states like Iowa or Kansas even looking at Texas as an example, where there's a pretty significant expansion of wind and solar and energy storage. Those low cost resources are offsetting the high and growing costs of fossil fuel resources like coal, and they're also helping protect customers from the volatility in natural gas pricing that regions like the Northeast have been particularly exposed to.
So renewable energy is the cheaper way to go. What else does it take?
Yeah, renewable energy is cheap and it's getting cheaper. I think what you see in a state like Texas is that when you open the market to participation from the resources that are the most economic and the lowest cost for providing new sources of electricity generation, what gets built is primarily wind, solar, and energy storage, and that helps lower costs to consumers overall. I think what is really essential to think about, though, is you have this cheap resource like renewable energy, and it's getting cheaper over time. But you really need to have a regulatory environment and mechanism that does planning in a way that that can unlock these low cost resources, where there's sort of everything's put on an equal footing, and utilities can select the lower cost resources.
State regulators say the continued operation of the coal fleet is in the best interest of the electricity consumer. Why not?
I don't think that continuing to operate these plants is in the best interest of customers. And doing so, I think, will continue this upward cost pressure on customers' electric utility bills. One thing that I found pretty notable in the data that we looked at in our report was, residential electricity rates have been increasing in West Virginia pretty substantially. Industrial rates, and to a lesser extent, commercial rates, have increased at a rate below inflation. And so one thing that jumps out from that is that not only are these kind of uneconomic coal plants continuing to be cost centers that are burdening ratepayers, but those costs are really being allocated disproportionately to residential customers, and they're really bearing the high burden of that. I think there's some likely reasons behind that. Keeping industrial rates low is an economic development incentive, but it means that there's a really significant additional cost pressure on residential customers.
That was Brendan Pierpont of Energy Innovation Policy and Technology, speaking with Curtis Tate about what's behind rising electricity prices in West Virginia. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:51. Scattered rain and thunderstorms today, highs in the 70s and 80s. Tonight, rain and thunderstorms, lows in the 50s and 60s. Tomorrow, variable cloudiness, still a chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 70s and 80s. Support for WVPB is provided by West Virginia University Magazine, showcasing stories of mountaineer purpose and discovery across the globe. Online at magazine.wvu.edu. The West Virginia Film Office has had a bumpy ride to get where it is today. As part of his capstone project, Max Bruce, a recent graduate from West Virginia University, took a look at the new film office's impact on the state's burgeoning entertainment industry. He spoke with Chris Schultz about his reporting.
What is the film office?
The film office is an organization set up by the government under the Department of Economic Development. It acts as an all-encompassing resource for filmmakers and creatives in the state to get films, music videos, TV shows, and anything in a visual medium created and supported.
What attracted you to report on this office and their work?
I wanted to get more involved in media and make people laugh and do something creative. Unfortunately, we didn't have a film program at WVU, so the closest I could get was working with media, working with cameras, equipment, editing software. It took me down the route of journalism, and my professor brought up the idea when I was scratching my head for topics for this, and it just made sense of someone who had such a passion for film growing up to bring it back around and do this really, ultimately really fun project, actually.
Before we get into the specifics of what the film office does, they've kind of had a bumpy road to get to where they are today. Can you tell us a little bit about that process?
Yeah, so the original film office was dissolved, actually, by the legislature in 2018. The benefits that they were seeing were not substantive enough to warrant keeping them around. So there was a vote in both the House and the Senate. They dissolved it. They brought it back 4 years later in 2022, and that passed overwhelmingly with major sweeping changes. They've been on fire ever since. They've just been on a roll, doing some really great stuff.
So can you tell me a little bit about how the film office is actually making these changes to foment a film industry here in the Mountain State?
Some of the major changes were the tax credits. We now have really, really robust tax credits. The film office has actually been doing some really interesting things of creating a service on their website, or a catalog of sorts of people working in the industry. Say, for example, you're working on a production and you need another accountant, or you need a grip or something along those lines. There's actually a resource that people can go through that are in the process of making productions or in the very early stages of productions and find those people and match them. So it's a good way of connecting local people and local West Virginians and Appalachians, for that matter, to productions and allowing them to expand and work on these productions. And it's great. It's a phenomenal resource, and it's surprisingly robust as well.
Tell me a little bit about some of the people that you spoke with for this story. Who are the filmmakers in West Virginia?
A gentleman over at the film office who's spearheading this endeavor. His name is Dave Lavender. Everyone I talked to in my reporting had told me, like, you need to talk to Dave. You need to talk to him, because he's just, after speaking with him, he is the coolest guy that you could possibly talk to, and he's exactly the kind of person you want. Just really passionate about films in West Virginia and getting things done. He's a real, like, let's do it. Let's have some fun. Let's get this taken care of kind of guy. But I spoke with Tisha Baumgartner, who was a professor now at Marshall University, grew up in West Virginia, and moved out to California at a certain point to pursue a career in film, and is now helping to create with the film office the first filmmaking program in the state of West Virginia at Marshall University.
What exactly is the timeline for seeing some progress and maybe some productions here in the state?
Well, I think the big thing to acknowledge is that there's already productions that are happening. I don't think that ever went away. A lot of it is fostering the current crop of people that are in the state, but then also bringing people in from outside. It's not quite that the productions haven't been going on. It's just that we've seen that they've happened in the past, and there's been a steady stream. It's just, unfortunately, it's not as widely publicized.
What has your reporting told you about the future of film in West Virginia?
That it seems incredibly bright. It seems like we're moving in a very good direction. Anecdotally, I've heard from a lot of the people I interviewed and talked with that they're interested in coming around here. They're interested in seeing what we can do and making more films. I mean, there's been Lifetime movies that have been filmed in here. There's been a couple, actually. Music videos are still popping up. There's a lot of buzz and interest in it, especially because of how competitive the tax credits are, but also how versatile the state is. Like, there's a beauty to it that's, I feel like, in some cases overshadowed for the stereotypes.
Anything else? Is there anything that I haven't given you an opportunity to discuss about your reporting, about this industry?
The main takeaway I wanted from this is that the industry in West Virginia is very hopeful. And for someone growing up, regardless of where you are, regardless of what part of the state you're in, or even that you're from West Virginia in general, there are opportunities for you to be creative. There are opportunities for you to be successful. And there's opportunities to tell the stories you didn't think would ever get told, like your stories and people that are like you. It's an amazing time to be a filmmaker in West Virginia and to be a creative in this state. And I only see that flourishing as time goes on. I only see that growing more and more as people start coming towards the state and as we revitalize the industry here. I mean, towns in Georgia, when The Walking Dead were coming on, like, blew up overnight by being tourist attractions and bringing money and people into the state and bringing more attention to it. And I think, given enough time and given certain productions and given the strong backbone that the industry has now, I can see that easily happening.
That was Max Bruce speaking with Chris Schultz about the West Virginia film industry and the film office. You can read a longer version of this interview, as well as Bruce's reporting, on our website at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Maria Young. Emily Rice produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.